In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Those of you who are friends with me on Facebook saw that Friday night was kind of a big night in my life. It was the first night I spent in my own house. So far, it's the only night I've spent in my own house, but that's a story for another time. Anyway, Lydia, the 6.5-year-old, got to spend the night with Auntie Christina. Because we were coming to do scrapbook thing with Jen on Saturday. Lydia, child of Anna, really is my daughter from another mother. She's the crafty one, the artistic one. I'm not that artistic. She is. It's insane. Anyway, but she got to spend the night with Auntie Christina. And we had a great time. We took her on her first midnight Walmart run. By midnight, I mean 9:30, because when you're 6.5, that's about it. I kept telling her, you cannot fall asleep in the car because I cannot pick you up, carry you through Walmart, and carry you back. You have to stay awake. Lydia, my darling niece, who is not a morning person, woke up and we watched the sunrise from my dining room window. And she says, Auntie Christina, this is the first time I've seen sunrise. And I'm like, well, yeah, because you like to sleep in. We crafted by the time, it started at 9, by 10:30, she'd had 4 cards made and was working on another project. She freehand cut out a little Pac-Man scene with the little ghosts and the whole 9 yards. She sat in my office while I worked on a couple of things yesterday afternoon. And then it was time, we have to go home. I have to get you back to your house because, Auntie Christina needs some sleep. But that didn't happen. She says, no, I want to go back to your house. And so we went back to my house. And then Grandpa came down with his power drill, power screwdriver to hang a couple of things on the wall for me. And then she wanted to go shovel the slush off my driveway, which, hey, that's cheap labor. I'm not a problem with that. You want to go play in the snow? Go ahead. And I said, honey, we have to go. She lives in Edmore, people. It's like, we have to go. So we went to Alma to show Grandma the craft projects, and we drove out, and Mommy and Daddy and Sister were not at home. They were at Uncle Randy and Aunt Dana's, which they live in Six Lakes, so it's not really that far from Edmore. They were having a family game night. Oh, this was great fun. So my darling 6.5-year-old niece, who was sawing logs driving across 46, was wide awake, finally put some real food in her, and she had a grand old time. We had fun. The adults were playing games. I've played games. Oh, geez. We should get catchphrase for church game night, all I'm saying. But it finally gets around. It's about 9:30, and Anna is ready to go home. God love my sister. She works more 12-hour shifts inspecting cheese than anybody ever should. And she's ready to go home. Well, Mike is not ready to go home, and they came in one car. And I said to Anna, let's get Lydia's seat out of your car, because I have one that matches it, and both girls fit in the same kind of car seat. I said, and I will take you home, because Edmore is on my way back to Gratiot County. And my darling 6.5-year-old niece, who'd been up since sunrise and had been crafting and was just, she can get an attitude on her, it is what it is, but she was just perfect, and she behaved herself so well. She threw a fit. She's screaming and crying and carrying on, I don't want to go. Boy, did she sound like Jonah. Our scripture reading this morning is just a snippet out of Jonah's story, but we've all heard it, right? Jonah is called by God, go to Nineveh. You, Jonah, go to Nineveh and proclaim my word to them and tell them if they do not repent of their sinful ways, I'm going to destroy them in 40 days. Somebody in one of the Facebook clergy groups I'm in posited this question, and Sandy, my apologies. She said, fill in the blanks. Jonah being sent to Nineveh was like blank going to blank. And someone else commented, filling in the blanks, I promise it was not me. Jonah being sent to Nineveh was like an Ohio State fan being sent to the Big House. And because this is a worldwide kind of group, they had to explain that the Big House was Michigan Stadium. Anyway, Jonah did not want to go. Now, it's the people of Nineveh. Oh, God, really? So what's Jonah do? Runs the opposite direction and heads to Tarshish. He's on the boat, remember? He's on the boat with the sailors who don't know who he is from anybody. And all of a sudden, this fishing trip that these guys are on goes absolutely haywire, and it's storming, and the boat's flying which way and every which way. And the fishermen go, why is it storming? We should pray to the Lord that he will save us. And Jonah's sitting down there in the boat going, oh, he found me. So he goes to the guys and he says, I tell you what, throw me off the boat and the storm will stop and I deserve it because I'm running away from God. So they throw him off the boat and scripture says what happens? The big fish comes and whoosh, swallows him. And the storm calms down and the fishermen go about their business. Now personally, I don't know. I've fought with this. I do not know if I actually believe there was a great big whale that swallowed Jonah. But I can imagine what it's like to be in the belly of a whale. It's got to be just about the lowest, most depressed, down in the dumps, stinkiest, least comfortable place on the planet. Which, let's face it, friends, if you are running away from the Word of God, is where you'll find yourself. Anyway, Jonah prays, and the fish spits him up on shore. Where? Nineveh. So quite honestly, though he ran from it, he fought against it, he threw a temper tantrum about it, Jonah ended up right where God called him to go in the first place. And he did, ironically, he did exactly what God told him to do. He proclaimed the message of God to the people of Nineveh. So it leads me to question, it leads me to ask, how many times do we, have we, will we kick and scream resisting where God is calling us to go? We hear God's call. We know it's God. This is not like last week where Samuel did not know who it was calling his name. This is different. Jonah knew who was talking to him. We know who is talking to us. And we run the opposite direction. We rebel against it. We run away from Nineveh to Tarshish in our own lives. We get distracted by the pretty, fun, sparkly things. It's like Lydia. I mean, she'll get so hyper-focused on something, it's like, hey, yo, wake up. And God still calls us to go. And we still fight against it. And we have what, for lack of a better term, is a spiritual temper tantrum. I don't wanna. And how many times is it that the call of God is to go talk to people who are not like us, who do not believe like us, who do not look or behave or act or think like us? Is it a client at the food pantry on Wednesdays? Is it one of the guys across the street or down the street at the motel? Is it a drug or alcohol addict or a single parent or a teenage mother? Is it someone who's done wrong and is trying to do right? The people who don't act or think or behave like we do. I think sometimes we try to get out of doing what God has called us to do. It's like the prayer this morning said. We grab the stapler and the pad of paper and we start, oh, don't look at me, I'm too busy. But even though Jonah rebelled against his call to go to Nineveh, he still ended up there. He still ended up where God had called him to go. He still proclaimed God's message to the people. But guys, his heart was not in the right place, because what comes after our scripture reading this morning is that Jonah then found himself up on the hill outside of Nineveh. And it's this great city, great big. I mean, think Chicago, New York. You're not going to walk across it in a day. Everybody's not going to get the message. It is not like Ithaca. Everybody's not going to get the message within 15 minutes. But he went up and he sat up on the hill to watch. Because he says his mind and his heart were so in the wrong place, and he was still holding on to that. Well, these people are not like me. He sat there and waited for God's wrath to be poured out. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen, guys. Jonah delivered God's message and then went off, but the people of Nineveh were right there. Hey, God, we're following God. And they changed their ways. They changed their outlook. They went into a period of mourning that they might lose God's favor. And they changed their hearts. And God saw that. And he stopped deciding. He changed his mind, God did. And he said, no, I'm a merciful God full of grace and love. And he spared the city of Nineveh. And oh, that made Jonah mad. Ah, vengeful, not quite getting it, Jonah. He wanted to see Nineveh destroyed, and he did not want to see God's mercy displayed. Friends, the good news is that God's call wins. God's call always wins. Jonah still delivered the message to Nineveh, and we always end up doing exactly what God called us to do in one way or another. Perfect example. You know my call story, that it was going to be a pastor when I was 4, then a minister, then a music teacher. Then college happened, and here I am as a minister. But I tell you, friends, God still uses those gifts, because it was as the children's choir director at Greenfield that I got to use all that music education stuff that I'd spent my freshman year using. God uses gifts, and he uses you in a way that is unique to you. Your call is unique to you. Val, your call is your call. It's not Cecile's. Sherry, your call is yours. It's not Penny's. Joy, your call is yours, not Tom's. Vicky, your call is yours, not Brad's. And so on and so forth. We are called to share God's love and light and be messengers of the mercy and the grace that our God bestows. We are not to act like Jonah. Jonah's the perfect example of how not to respond. Because so many times, whether we know it or not, the call for each of us as faithful people, as God's people, is to share the light and the word and the love and the grace to those who need it most. So many times, we're the only ones who get the message to the people out there on the streets. It's not right to compare what we have to what somebody else has. It's not right to compare our call to somebody else's call. It's not right to hold on to, you can't possibly ask me to do that, God, because I'm not it. Our God created us. Our God created our calls for us. And my call is not your call, and your call is not my call. But friends, we are all called together as this body of Christ to be the beacon of light. We are called to what? Love our Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And to help them find the path that they have been put on by God. And to rejoice with them when they find that path. So I'll stop preaching for a little bit. And I'll leave you with this. May we be sharers of God's love, beacons of God's light, and examples of God's mercy and grace in this world. Thanks be to God for this opportunity. Amen. Our second hymn is number 856 in the Red Hymnal.